Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. It's brought to you by Midsoda, trailer sales and service right off I-94 in Avon. We visit with Ever Ag and Mike North. Mike was in Texas this past week at a dairy conference, and that's what we focus on this week is dairy and talking about some trends as we look ahead and some numbers and some reports. And we begin by looking at Class 3 milk futures. And I mentioned to Mike a few weeks ago, we did see an uptick in the futures. Now in the recent weeks, we've seen that uptick come back again as he looks at milk futures here this week.
You know, Class 3 specifically seeing, you know, two fallouts in price. Specifically, if you look at the block cheese market, just in the last four sessions, we've lost 11 cents. Similarly, the whey market in the last eight sessions has lost the same. And when you, you know, do the math on those two things, it equates to more than a dollar of contributed loss against that broader Class 3 market. And it just kind of further builds on some of the trends that we've been observing in the Class 3 market over the course of the last year, year and a half, as cheese markets are trying to balance large production and sizable inventories against the global market that has us really, you know, for the moment, at the lowest price, with, you know, global dairy trade settling yesterday at $1.94 on the cheese. We become a really attractive price point for any world buyer, but, you know, often what has happened, we do that, we gain a bunch of orders, the market screams higher, we get into an overpriced situation, and then we have to fall back to re-look at some of those opportunities.
Mike, you know, when it comes to demand, everything is driven by demand, and I think that's just going to be one of the biggest issues here as we move forward, especially when it comes to dairy.
Yeah, and I would say it's the central issue, really. If you look at supply, we've continued to watch production fall, and right now, over the last 6 months, we've watched as all three major milk sheds in the world, both Europe and New Zealand, Australia, outside of the United States, together, all three of us have been watching declining production. And generally speaking, you watch production decline in any one of those regions, and it starts to get noticed fairly quickly. Local markets start to respond. With all three of them in decline, that's the kind of setup that typically leads us very quickly back above $20 milk. But the problem is that demand has been also declining, or, you know, lackluster at a rate that, you know, ultimately has been greater than the supply loss. And that's overshadowing the discussion and keeping these markets from putting any sort of premium back into that space to reward the conversation.
You know, Mike, it seems like this has been the Achilles heel for the dairy industry. Now, I'm first in line. If I want to place a vote for more dairy farms, heck, I'm going to vote yes each and every time, no matter what. But it seems like, you know, when it comes to demand, we're overproducing. We do such a great job in producing a quality product. But at the end of the day, it's kind of almost like tapping your head against the wall, you know?
Well, and I think part of what we're feeling here is just a byproduct of some of the forces that have been in the market over the last several years. If you walk backwards to COVID, we had this gross imbalance between Class 3 and Class 4 created by a wave of new government demand for food boxes. And, you know, then we walked it into 21, 22, and, you know, we were essentially stuffing mailboxes with money. The consumer was awash in cash. You know, they were growing their lifestyle. They were spending. We watched that same activity globally as people were demanding more and more and more. And cheese was really in the spotlight as we walked through that. And so the natural response for the processor community is that, hey, if people want more, we need to figure out how to give it to them. And so they went through the process to, you know, put together capital and plans and the whole process to build additional capacity. And that was in response to that growing demand. I think we'll pick that back up in the future. But what's happened in the short run is we've kind of, you know, come into this hangover period after the stimulus money has wore off and some of that stuff has kind of gone to the wayside, is that we have this additional capacity being built as that demand has flatlined or even retracted. So, you know, we see this over time as we try to, you know, keep up with things that are going on at the consumer level, this is just the newest edition of that same trend. Now, what that's also done is it's left butter in the Class 4 market a little underserved. There hasn't been as much capital going into that Class 4 space. We don't have the types of expansions on the roadmap. And so you're watching as, you know, we've underserved that demand, and it's kept prices very strong. So anybody that, you know, has any Class 4 exposure is looking at their milk check with a very different mindset than those that are heavier in the Class 3. And that's how this thing works. We ebb and we flow and we try to find balance, but it's never at an equilibrium. It's always a little bit disjointed.
Mike, finally, it all comes down to the cow, and we are seeing less cows. We're seeing more beef on dairy breeding, which, you know, from a dairy perspective, it's hard to turn down those $8 or $9 or $7 a pound Black Holstein cross calves that you can sell at your local sales barn. But, you know, we keep seeing that number lessen and lessen. We're seeing good prices on cull rates right now, too. We're seeing those numbers go down, Mike.
Yeah, and it starts with the beef herd. You know, certainly that's an industry that has, you know, had its own set of headwinds and storm clouds and, you know, by weather and by way of margins and profitability. We saw some liquidation of the beef herd. We've had fewer calves. Now, again, with the consumer having some money to spend, they've, you know, elevated the price. And, you know, it's continued the cow slaughter there and the heifers moving to market. But we've gotten to that place now where finding breeding stock has been very, very difficult. And so that automatically creates greater demand in any of these tangent spaces. And top of the list is dairy. And if you go back to, you know, 2016 when Tyson, you know, essentially walked away from their desire to take in Holstein steers, it really started this whole movement of figuring out how I can create value for my calves. And so beef on dairy was essentially fast-tracked into the marketplace. And, you know, that being said, now we have market conditions that make it all the more profitable. And you highlight some of those values. This is going to be around for a long time. And truth be told, as you look at the opportunities here, I think the dairymen are well postured to really step into that quality beef space. And with all of the uniform genetics in the dairy and, you know, the fast growth of beef sires and, you know, better genetics there, we're going to continue to advance that. That's not going away. And so, you know, that has had its own impacts, of course, on replacement heifers and the ability for us to grow the dairy herd. But that's an opportunity, as you highlight, that's certainly a golden one in this moment, especially.
Mike, I have to add, too, I'm just wondering if there is going to be a tripping point at some point when it comes to those buying beef in the grocery store, at their local butcher, whatever it may be. You know, if you start off with an investment of $7 or $8 a pound on a calf, I mean, nobody wants to lose on that chain from when it gets slaughtered and harvested. So it just makes me wonder when or if that price will get passed on, and then if there's some hesitation.
No, you make a great point. And if you go back to last fall, we watched this happen and calf prices took a huge hit. We took $50 a hundred off of those, pretty fast. And as you look at the market today, it's climbed back up, and especially against falling corn prices, you know, we've certainly allowed for margin to still live in the conversation, but demand is still key. We highlighted it when we were talking dairy markets a moment ago. It's still true in the cattle and broader beef space. That tripwire will get hit at some point. And if you watch the consumer, as they respond, they've continued to trade down. We continue to watch them back away from these really high prices. And so we have to keep in mind that, you know, supply is one part of the story. Demand is the other. And there's only so much the consumer will take, and that will come back to haunt us, especially if we destroy demand here and people move to other proteins. That's a real concern right now as we walk further into this space. But all of that said, in America, we still prefer beef. That market likely remains strong. But the message that we've had for our clients is that in this particular market, especially as we look out to fall, where current values are forecast at levels and being traded on the market at levels that are higher than last fall's record levels. These are moments you need to be stepping in to defend and manage those opportunities, because to your exact point, there will be a day when this all changes.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report, brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service. Mike North with EverAg for Chasm Radio. I'm Joe Gill.